Today's shir is Masecht Chulin Daf Kuf Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. It says the Gemara Gufa Oichol Granasha Shabahema Tameya. If somebody eats the granasha of a non-kosher animal, Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev Shtayim, Rabbi Yehuda says he gets two sets of malchus, one for eating the granasha and one for eating the non-kosher animal. Rav Shimon Poiter. Rav Shimon says no malchus are received. Ask the Gemara. Let's try to understand Rav Shimon's opinion. Manavshach. E is sechal alisser. First the animal is sechal alisser. If there's a concern of isachal alisser, and therefore two isurim could be in place. So even though the animal first is non-kosher, and then it develops the gid, l'chayv nami mishum gid. If, on the other hand, Reb Shimon's opinion is that in iser chalal iser, that you can't have another iser on an existing iser, so I could understand why you won't be chayiv for the giranosher, but l'chayiv mishum tumah the kadim. Let's at least be chayiv the fact that he ate a non-kosher animal. Mefarshim point out that the wording of manavshach is not really appropriate, because manavshach seems to say that I have a way to understand it, just I have a kasha. Here we're not understanding Rav Shimon at all. V'ayim begidim noisim tam. If we're going to say that the gid doesn't have tam, as we said at the end of yesterday's shir, so fine, it doesn't have tam, but, and therefore, you're not chai, therefore it doesn't have tam, and therefore it's not considered like a piece of meat, and therefore you're not chai for having eaten non-kosher meat, but l'chai mishum gid, at least you should be chai for gid. Why does Rav Shimon say you put it all together? So the Rishonim suggest, Mefarshim ask a question. The why can we not explain that Rav Shimon holds that he ate, why doesn't the Gemara suggest that he ate less than a kezayis of gid, and therefore you won't be chayiv for eating non-kosher meat, because as we learned, and we'll learn it even tomorrow again, you never chayiv for eating non-kosher meat unless it's a kezayis. But for gid, you'll be chayiv, because a gid you chayiv even when it's less than a kezayis, because we learned in yesterday's shir that you chayiv by gid because it's a burial, even when it's less than a kezayis. So the Rishonim respond that the Gemara didn't attempt to give that answer because our parp looked at the other mandam of this price is Rabbi Yehuda. And in yesterday's shir, we learned that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold a yechayiv for a gid that's less than a kezayis. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree to the concept of burial. So it must be a gid that's a kezayis. And therefore the Gemara's question is, either be chayiv for a gid, according to Rabbi Shimon, or be chayiv for the non-kosher meat. But why does Rabbi Shimon totally absolve him? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava, Lailan Kusava, and Gidim Nais and Tam. Gidim don't have any Tam. So if Gidim don't have any Tam, we could understand why you're not Chayiv for eating non-kosher meat, because it's not considered meat. But the question remains, why you need at least not Chayiv for having eaten the Gira Nasha? Answers the Gemara, Vashani Hasam, Dama Kro. The reasoning for Rav Shimon's opinion is because the Pasuk says, Alken la yoichel b'nei Yisrael's gira nasha, and we learn from this Pasuk, only in a case, mishi gidoi osur, ubisorei mutter, only in a case where the gid is not kosher, and the rest of the meat is kosher, that's when there's an issa to eat gira nasha, yotzezeh, which comes to exclude, a place where the meat is not kosher, shigidoi osur, ubisorei osur, there is no issa of gira nasha. So just to quickly review, the opinion of Rav Shimon that says that if you eat the giranosh of a non-kosher animal, you're completely potter, is A, because ain begidin benois atam, so it's not considered meat, so it's not considered like you ate non-kosher meat, A, and B, the Torah teaches us that only the giranosh of a kosher animal is usher, not the giranosh of a non-kosher animal. The Rishonim discuss who or why or what compels Rav Shimon to say that's pshat of the pasuk, that the meat has to be meat that's kosher. Where does the pasuk point in that direction? So I saw a number of answers. One answer is that they say that the word hanosha is superfluous, and that's how they learn it. Another answer they say is because the pasuk says we read the pasuk many times, Gir Asher al Kaf HaYerech. So the pasuk is making a distinction. The Yerech, the rest of the thigh, you may eat, and the Gid, you may not eat. But if it's a non-kosher animal, you can't eat any part of the animal. And the other teretz that I saw, the very nice teretz. And we've been discussing this over and over. What's the whole point of the aveir of eating Gid and Asher? To commemorate what happened by Yaakov Avinu. How do we commemorate it? That there's a piece of meat that normally we would eat, we stay away from it. But if this is an animal that we're not eating any of the meat, so how are we commemorating what happened with Yaakov Avinu? So it must be that we're talking about an animal that's kosher, and the rest of the animal may be eaten, just to get a nosha, may not be eaten. Continues the Gemara. Till now we spoke about the gidanosha of a non-kosher animal. Now the Gemara begins to discuss the gidanosha, not of a non-kosher species, but Amar Yudam Rava Oichel gidanosha shal nevela. The animal is a kosher animal, but it wasn't killed by shechita. Ramei Mechayiv Shtayim, Ramei says that Yechayiv for the iser gidanosha and for the iser nevela. V'chom Omer Enechayiv al achas, you only chayiv one. And the Gemara will explain the opinion of Chum in a moment. But the Chacham agree with Ramaya. You have a carbon oila, that the entire carbon should be burnt. You're not allowed to eat any part of the carbon. Or the shar haniskal, we know the Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin, the entire animal is killed. You're not allowed to eat from any part of that animal. Veer the Rabbanan agree that you chayiv shtayim. The Rishayim ask a question. The gid anosha of a carbon oila, we discussed at the beginning of this parak, a question if it's put on the mizbeach. So, what do we say? You're not allowed to eat the gid anosha of a carbon oila because the carbon oila is supposed to be burnt. But we learned at the beginning of our parak that there are many opinions that say that the gid anosha is not put on the mizbeach. So why did you do an aveiru when you ate it? So I saw two turutzim in the Rishonim, one in the Rishonim, one in the Achronim to this question. The Rabban says, the fact that it's put on the Mizbeach or not has nothing to do with the Isra Achila. An Isra Achila that is part of a carbon oil is always there. Not as another question, is it put on the Mizbeach or not? But even if it's not put on the Mizbeach, that doesn't change the reality that there's an Isra Achila. Dar Smech says another teretz. Beautiful teretz. When we learn the Gemara that says that the Gid Anosha is not burned together with the rest of the carbon, what did the Gemara say we do with it? The Gemara says we put it on the Tapuach. There's a mound of ash on the Mizbeach, and that's where we put the Gid Anosha. So we always understood it. That's the way most people would understand the Gemara. You have to do something with the Gid Anosha. You're not burning it. So they found a place to put it, on the Tapuach. Says Dar Smeich, that's not Pshat. Dar Smeich says, that's the Avoida with the Gid Anosha. The Avoida with the rest of the carbon is burned on the Mizbeach. With the Gid Anosha, there is an Avoida. Don't put it on the Mizbeach, put it on the Tapuach. And if you didn't put it on the Tapuach, you ate it, so then you did the aveir of eating something that was supposed to be burnt. Interesting machloikas of the Chazanish and Dar Sameach. In this case of the carbon oila, is it talking about a case where you ate a shava pruta of the oila or not? Because the Chazanish points out that if what you ate is worth a pruta, then you have a whole nother issue here, mi'ila. And the Gemara seems to avoid the issue of mi'ila. So the Chazanish, therefore, because of that question, says that it's talking about a case that the Gid Anosha that you ate isn't Shava Pruta, so that's why Mi'ila isn't a factor. The Ar Sameach disagrees. So, we now have the opinion of the Chachamim, where somebody ate the Gid Anosha of a Nevela, and a Chayev Alachas. Obviously, and that becomes the sugya that we're going to learn now, the reason is because of Einis Achal Al Isser. And the Isser Gid Anosha preceded the Isser of Nevela, and that's why it's only also of Gid Anosha, not the Issa of Nevela. So before we begin the Gemara, just a few words of introduction. We've been discussing the concept of Einis Achal Al Isser, that something that's Osir cannot become further Osir. There are two primary svaris offered by the Achroinim. Why Einis Achal Al Isser? One, as I said in the previous year, that if a cup is already full, you can't add anything to it. That's one svara. The Meches Chinuch uses a different concept, a concept that is brought up many times in Shas, Mesachta Shavuos, Mesachta Nedarim, a concept of Mushba V'Oimid. The halacha is you can't make a shvuah not to eat something that you're not allowed to eat, because you can't eat it anyway. You're mushbav oimit. Or you can't make a shvuah against what the Torah says. Similarly, if this piece of meat is already asr, it can't be asr, it's already mushbav oimit. There's an interesting machloikus achroinu which may be connected to this machloikus. What happens if somebody indeed, let's use Al Gemara's case, ate something which has an issachal al issar? He had to get a nosha shal nevela. And according to the opinion of the Chachamim, ain't issachal al issar. So you only get one oinish, that's very clear. You only get one set of malchus. But how many averis did you do? Two or one? The Shach says you only did one. The most achroinim disagree with the Shach. And they say that ain't issachal al issar is only did an oinshin. You can't get punishment for the second avera, but certainly you did an avera. Perhaps the nafkamina is. How do we look at it? If we look at it like the full cup, so you can't put something into the full cup. And therefore what you did, the second isser is just not able to be chal. If we say it's mushbav oimid, so there's a technicality that prevents you from getting an oinish, but certainly there is an avera. However, continuing discussing einis chal al isser, there are a number of situations that some or all tanoim agree that we do say issachal al issar. And we'll review them. One situation is an issar maisif. An issar maisif is where a second issar speaks to more people than the first issar. That the first thing was only also to one group, and the second issar is also to more people, then we say issachal al issar. Another case is issar kailal. What's an issar kailal? The example we learn in the Gemara is an issar kailal. The first, the gittah nasha, is, if you have a kosher animal, only the gid is asr. Everything else, you could eat the rest of the animal. If the animal becomes an avela, so the rest of the animal is asr. So that's called an issa kailal. It includes more pieces, and then we say issa chalal isr, at least according to certain tanoim. Another exception to the rule of issa chalal isr is when the two asurim come together. We've learned this concept, and we'll discuss it in today's shir again. And the fourth situation is issa chomer. If the second Isser is a more serious Isser than the first Isser, again, according to certain Tanoim, we say Issachal al Isser. And now we begin the Gemara. So we've now had, the Gemara just quoted the opinion of the Chachamim, that if you had to get a nosha of an Avela, you only chai for Gid, not for the Avela. Ask the Gemara, Uman hai Tana, the Issachal al Isser less late. Even though it's an issachal, as I just described. Because the gid anasha, when you had the kosher animal, before it became an avela, only the gid was usr. The rest of the animal was mutter. Now when it became an avela, the rest of the animal is mutter. That's usr. That's called an issachal. And still he doesn't hold issachal isr. Man haitanad be issachal isr leslay. Whereas, bisachomer islay. And on the other hand, the tana of these chachomim say, that when the second Isser is more serious, when the second Isser is Oila or Shar Nisko, which is even an Isser Hano, or carries a more serious Oinish, he does agree to Issachal al Isser. So we have a very interesting situation here. On one hand, the Chacham, who we don't know yet who they are somewhat lenient, and say we don't even say Issachal al Isser when it's an Isser Kailu. How do we know that? The case of Gid of Nevela. But on the other hand, they say at certain times we do say it, where in a situation of Isser Chomer, Oyla Vishar Nisko, who is that Tana? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Rabbi Yosef Glili. Rabbi Yosef Glili doesn't agree to the concept of Isser Kailu, but does agree to the concept of Isser Chomer. So there's a machlokes Rishonim how to learn the Gemara. Actually, Tosfos has the easier approach. Tosfos' approach is that since the Isser of Oyla Shlom is a more serious Isser, Sasbana is a more serious Einish, than the Isser of Nevela, that's why there we say Issachal al Isser. Rashi seems to take a different approach. The Ramban says this. He says that you have to have both an Issa Maisiv and Issa Kailu. When you have a situation where it's Issa Maisiv and Issa Kailu, there they'll agree that it's Issachal al Issa. But let's learn the Gemara simple. Rabbi Yosef Glili. So the Gemara says that it's Rabbi Yosef Glili. How do we see that this is Rabbi Yosef Glili? So the first thing the Gemara is out to prove is that in a regular case of an Issa Koilil, Rav Yossi holds an Issa Chalal Issa. Rav Yossi Glil holds an Issa Chalal Issa. Where do we see this? The Tanan. The Mishnah says in Masechta Zvachim, Tamei She'achal Kodesh. If somebody is Tamei, and he ate food which is Kodesh, Main Kodesh Tamei, Ben Kodesh Tahar, whether the food was whether that food that's Kodesh is Tamei or Tahar, he's Chayiv. He's Chayiv Kores, because you're not allowed to eat Kodesh when you're Tamei. Rav Yossi Glil doesn't agree. He says, Tamei She'achal Tahar. He says, if somebody's tar may eat something which is tar, indeed, yechayiv kareis. But tamei she'achal is a tamei. If a tamei ate food, that's tamei potter. Then he's potter. Shalayachal el dava tamei. And the way Rishonim explain Rav Yossi Glili's opinion, the way they explain Rav Yossi Glili's opinion, is what is the aveira when a tamei eats kodesh? That it profanes the kedusha. Here you have food that's Kodesh. Here you have an individual that's Tamei. An individual that's eating something that's Kodesh is profaning it. But that's only if the food isn't yet profaned. If the food is already profaned by being Tamei, so he's not doing anything significant, and that's why he's Potter. Amrloi, Rabbanan Rabbi Yosef Glili. So Rabbanan, Tamei she'achal satar chayiv, Tamei she'achal satar potter, shlo yachal el dava Tamei. Amalei, so the Rabbanan say to Rabbi Yosef Glili, if you are correct, af tamei she'achal satar, there should never be a case that a tamei should be chayiv. Why? Kivin shenagaba, as soon as he touches the food, tameihu. So you're saying that any time a tamei eats food, that's tamei, he's not chayiv. So when will and the Torah speaks about a tamei getting kares for eating kodesh. What is the case? As soon as he touches it, he makes a tamei. So all of you are thinking of Tysus' question. Tysus says, why doesn't the Gemara say that's talking about a case where he didn't touch it? That somebody put it into his mouth. So he didn't make a tummy. So Tysus says that the Gemara is as smart as we are. And if the Gemara didn't say, if Rav Yosef Glili didn't, the Gemara didn't say that teretz, it's obvious that Rav Yosef Glili was speaking about all circumstances, even when he actually touched it. And yet the Gemara is saying, so now the Rabbanan's question to Rav Yosef Glili is a very powerful question. When does the Torah say that Yechayiv, if when you eat it and you touch it, you always make a tamei first? Furthermore, the Achronim want to use this Gemara as a raya to a very common question. The question comes up if somebody has to take a medicine, which is not kosher. And I have to, of course, emphasize, it's not a situation of sakonis nefashis. Because if a situation of sakonis nefashis, just take the medicine. It's not a situation of sakonis nefashis, and the person doesn't want to eat something not kosher. Could he put it and wrap it in a tissue or in a capsule that's kosher and make it mutter to be eaten? And they want to use this gemara as a raya. Because why did Rabbi Yosef Glili say that they wrapped the kodesh in something, and he touched it without touching the wrapper? So the Rishonim say, that's not called derech achila, and of course you would be potter. You would not be considered tamei. Other Rishonim, other Mefarshim say, other Pais, even though they don't disagree with that halacha, and they agree that the halacha is that if it's wrapped, it's considered shalak derech achila, take Tosfos' approach. Of course the Gemara could have said it, but the fact that the Gemara didn't say it is obvious that Rav Yosef Glili wasn't speaking about that situation. The Achronim ask another interesting question. We've learned many times that food to become Tamei, how much food do you have to have? What's the shear? A kebeya. To eat food, how much food do you have to eat to be chayiv? A kezayis. A kezayis less than a kebeya. So what does the Gemara say? That we're talking about a case where you had a kezayis of this food. Yes, the tamei touched it, but it's only a kezayis. So he doesn't make a tamei, and he's only chayiv for eating it. And the Rabbanan's claim against Rabbi Yossi falls away. So I saw two answers to this question. One answer I saw that the Achronim suggest, that even though normally, as I just said, the halacha is, unless the food is the size of kebeya, it's not mekabel tumah, that's by chulin. By kachim, everybody agrees, even any small amount is makabel tumah. That's why the Gemara couldn't have given that teretz. Another teretz is along the same line that I've been explaining. Yes, the Gemara could have given that answer, but the fact that Rav Yosef Glili doesn't defend himself that way, like Tosfos says, is a raya that Rav Yosef Glili is even talking in a case where you ate it normal. And therefore, the Bonin have a very strong claim to Rav Yosef Glili. When are you ever going to be chayiv when you touch the food that had the right shear and ate it normal and touched it normal and then ate it normally? It's already tamei. So how come you're chayiv? And says the Gemara, Shapa kamalei Rabbanan Rav Yosef Glili. Aren't Rabbanan making a very strong claim to Rav Yosef Glili? So in order to defend Rav Yosef Glili's opinion, says Rav as follows. But nitma gufach kach nitma basar. If it's a situation that the person is tamei, and afterwards the boss became tamei, kulam loy pligi. Everybody agrees that he would be chayiv. Why? The issachar is kadim. And once there's the issachar is there, ain issachal alisser, and therefore it doesn't become tamei. So it's a situation where you're eating something where a tamei person is eating kodesh. Ki pligi, what is the machloikis? But nitma boss vacha nitma aguf. And we're going to learn the Gemara very simply. The meat became tamei. So once the meat became tamei, there is no chiv karis. There's only islav for eating tamei kodesh. And now the person became tamei. Rabbanan islay isakoilo. Rabbanan hold the concept of isakoilo. What does that mean? The migid mechay vechatiches tayrus the alma. This person who's tamei certainly can't eat tar kodesh. So that's isakoilo. So now there's more pieces that he may not eat. So chayv na mechaticha tameya isachalal isa, where it's an isachaylo. We say Yosef Glili lesla isachaylo. He doesn't agree to the concept of isachaylo. The migaloy aminin, and the fact that this is a situation of isachaylo doesn't make a difference to Rabbi Yosef Glili. Once it's usher, we say ain isachalal isa. And again, the simple way of learning the Gemara is that if the meat became tamei first, even though the second isser came later, the isser of kares, and even though that second isser is an isser kailo, basically isn't fazed by the fact that it's an isser kailo. There are rishonim that don't learn the Gemara in such a broad application. They say it's talking about where he wants to eat the meat. He wants to eat the meat, and that piece of meat became tamei before he became tamei. Just because there's a tamei piece of meat out there in the world doesn't make a difference. But let's learn the Gemara simple. Ask the Gemara what all of you are thinking. Yes, we've been saying that Rabbi Yosef Glili is the Chachamim, and he holds that even that the rule of Ein Issachal Alisser is such a strong rule, even by Issachal we don't say Issachal Alisser. But what do we say? That he does agree when it's Issachamim. Let's think about this case. Meat that's tamei, kodesh that's tamei, is an isalav. A person that's tamei eating kodesh is an isakares. So you have two factors here. It's an isachomer and isakailu. And we learned a few lines ago that even Rabbi Yosef Glili, who has this very broad application of ein isachal alisser, agrees by an isachomer. So why isn't this an isachomer? Ask the Gemara. Rabbi Yosef Glili, yes, na di isakailu lesle. Bissakal. But here it's an Issachomer, because the Isser of being Tamei and eating Kodesh is a Chiv Karis. And therefore, Yochal Issachal, which is when the meat is Tamei. Or mind you, Tumas Aguf. And the Gemara explains, Shari, Tumas Aguf Bekares. Whereas eating meat that's Tamei, that's Kodesh, is only a laugh. Answers the Gemara a tremendous teretz. We're very used to, says the Gemara, of defining Chomer and Kal based on Einshin. If this is Kares, and this is Malkus, that's the Chomer, the one that's Kares. That's not the only way to look at things, says the Gemara. Omer Vashi, man leim lan tumas aguf chomura, dema tumas abasa chomura, the lesli tarva mikvah. Look at this. A person that's Tamei, yes, if he eats Kodesh, is a Chiv Kares. Meat that's Tamei, and you eat, Kodesh that's Tamei that you eat, is only an Issalav. But on the other hand, a person that's Tamei has a way to get out of the Tumah, go into the mikvah. The meat that's tamei you can't put into the mikveh; it won't have any effect, and therefore, it's not a case of issachomer. the Tumas Basar, even though maybe when we look at it from the perspective of the Oynish, the Gemara's question was good, but we have to look at the perspective of the characteristic. Even though the Rishonim point out that meat that's Tameh has a way of becoming Tahar by burning it, but they explain, burning it, you have to do something, you have to change the meat. Going to the mikveh doesn't change the person physically. Ask the Gemara, so we're identifying that the Chachamim hold, who don't hold Issachayil, that even in a case of Issachayil, still hold Ein Issachayil Issar. And we're saying that that's the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Glili. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef Glili Leslie, Issachayil, is it true that Rabbi Yosef Glili doesn't hold of Issachayil? For Tanya, Shabbos v'Yom Kippurim, if Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, Shagag v'as Melacha, and somebody did Melacha. You're not allowed to do Melacha on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do Melacha on Yom Kippur. Menayin Shechai v'al Zeh Ba'atzmai v'al Zeh Ba'atzmai, how do you know that you're chai for each one? Tamalaymer, Shabbos hi, Yom Kippurim hi. Divrei, Rabbi Yosef Aglili, Kiva Aymer, Ein Achai of Achas. But what do we see? Rabbi Yosef Aglili holds Issachal al-Isser, because you're chai for Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Says Taisus, why is this a question? Maybe this is a unique situation, where the Pasuk says, a special limud. Answers Taisus, if Rabbi Yosef Aglili says that here we're learning Issachal al-Isser, then why isn't it a source for the rest of the Torah? And that's why the question of the Gemara is a very powerful question. But all of you are thinking the question of the Rishonim. This is not Issachal al-Isser. The two Isurim come together. Shabbos and Yom Kippur both begin at the exact same moment. So there's Bas Achas. Simultaneously, I said a few moments ago, Issachal al-Isser. So Rashi says, it's a very strong question, and I saw three Terutzim in the Rishonim to this question. Rashi answers that Rabbi Yosef Glili, who holds Enes Chalal Isser, and he has a very broad application, doesn't hold of it even when they come simultaneously. That's one teretz Rashi suggests. Another teretz that the Rishonim suggests, that Shabbos happens one moment before Yom Kippur. Because Shabbos is Kaviyah V'Kaima. Shabbos is not through us. After Shabbos comes Minash Shamayim, then Yom Kippur comes. The Ritva gives a third teretz, very interesting teretz. He says it could be that Rabbi Yosef Aglili normally agrees to the concept of Bas Achas. But let's think about it. What is Shabbos? Shabbos is Shabbos. Yom Kippur is Shabbos Shabbosim. It's all one Isser. And therefore, even though normally when two different Isurim come together, he holds they both could be effective, they both could be Chal, and when it's all one Isser. Only here, so then the question is, why over here is it Chal? That's the Gemara's question. But then I saw that the Rishayim and Achrayim asked the other way around. We know the halacha is Yom Kippur, we have to have Taisus Yom Kippur. The halacha is Midaraisa, that we have to begin Yom Kippur before Yom Kippur, before Tzaisa Kachavim. It's not just by Shabbos. So Yom Kippur comes before Shabbos. Because Yom Kippur has Taisus Yom Kippurim, and Shabbos doesn't. So I saw many answers to this question. One answer is that there's some mandarim that hold that Taisus Shabbos is the Raisa, just like Taisus Yom Kippur. That's one teretz. Another teretz is that Taisus Yom Kippurim is not regarding Melacha. Taisus Yom Kippur is only inui, that you have to start fasting and you have to take off your shoes before, but not, we're talking about Melacha. Taisus Yom Kippurim doesn't speak to Melacha. Another teretz is that the chi of Taisus Yom Kippurim is only an assay, not a lois assay. We're talking here about getting an oynish. An oynish you don't get for an assay. Another teretz, fascinating teretz. On the normal, a regular Shabbos, there is no Tais for Shabbos. Yom Kippur, there is Tais for Yom Kippurim. But this Shabbos, which Shabbos is Yom Kippur, to treat Shabbos like a stepchild to Yom Kippur, that you have Tais for Yom Kippur and you don't have Tais for Shabbos, is inconceivable. And therefore, on the Shabbos which comes at Yom Kippur, their Tais for Shabbos is Daraisa. Another teretz, there's so many beautiful teretzim to discussion. What happens if somebody's a boy who becomes a mitzvah Yom Kippur? Every Yom Kippur is not by mitzvah yet. So he doesn't have a chiv taistus Yom Kippur. But he has a chiv Yom Kippur. So that boy doesn't, for him Yom Kippur doesn't come before Shabbos. Another teretz is, we're talking about the moment that Shabbos begins. The moment that Shabbos Yom Kippur begin, those two Yisurim come together. The fact that Yom Kippur, Taisus Yom Kippurim, and Yom Kippur are two separate issues, not to be combined. One more beautiful vart. Our Gemara is speaking about a case which Yom Kippur is on Shabbos. So the Satmar Rebbe quotes the Sefer Noyim Megadim. It says a beautiful vart. We all know the Gemara says, Emalei Shamu Yisol Shtei Shabbosos, Miyad Negolim. Klaisos observes two Shabbosim, Mashiach comes. Says the Noyim Megadim. If Yom Kippur comes on Shabbos, you only need one. That one day has in it both components. Has it in both components. And you just, if all of Klai Yisrael will observe Yom Kippur, which is a Shabbos, Mashiach is coming. We don't even need a second Shabbos. And he explains it. He explains it based on this Gemara. He says, we know that throughout Shas, there's a klal, there's a rule. Midah Tov Merubah Merida Pranis. Midah Tov is always greater than Midah Pranis. Here we're learning that if Shabbos and Yom Kippur come together, and you do a Malacha Yechayiv to Malkus. That's Midas Peronius. So for the Midas Tova, a Mashiach coming, certainly, if you keep Shabbos Yom Kippur, it's as if you kept both a Shabbos, as if you kept two Shabbosim, and we only have to keep Shabbos and Yom Kippur, Mashiach's coming. But again, we have a question here. We have a very powerful question here. Rabbi Yitzchak Glili, we've been saying, hold, Ein Eschal Alisser, and here we see it is Chal. Shalach Rav Avim Meshum, Rabbi Yitzchak Hanina. He responded that the wording of the Mishnah is correct. We have to reverse the opinion. Rabbi Yosef Glili is going to say only Chayiv ala Achas. Rabbi Kiva is going to hold you Chayiv Shtayim. Why Rabbi Yosef Glili and Chayiv Achas? Because Rabbi Yosef Glili holds Enes Chalalis. Sholach Rabbi Yitzchak B'Yakov B'Agiyuri Mishum de Rabbi Yosef Glili. Rabbi Yosef Glili. L'may do'apchon. According to the new version of the Mishnah, in a situation where somebody was shogag b'Shabbos, he didn't realize the Shabbos, the haze of Yom Kippurim, so he's chayif. However, haze b'Shabbos, he did an aver b'Shabbos, b'mezit, so there's no chiv malchus, no chiv chatas, b'shogag b'Yom Kippurim, which carries with it a chiv chatas, potter. Why? Because Ein is a Chal Alisser, and Shabbos is Chal, and not Yom Kippur. So Taisus asks a very powerful question. How could there be a Havamina that somebody who was Mechal Shabbos B'mezid, and was Mechal Yom Kippur B'shogeg should bring a carbon? The halacha is only a person, the Gemara says it many times, only a person who Shav Midiyasai, somebody who's about Tshuva brings a carbon. This person's not a Shav Midiyasai. He's a Mezid. He's Mechal Shabbos B'mezid. So how would we let him bring a carbon? So Taisus says there are a lot of people that treat Yom Kippurim more seriously than they treat Shabbos. So Shabbos is not so important to him. Yom Kippur, he would never violate Yom Kippur. And therefore he's truly considered a shaygig. And if not for the issue of Einas Achal Alisser, Rabbi Yosef Glili would agree he should bring a carbon. My Tama. So the Gemara is saying that according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Shabbos comes first, and therefore Issa Yom Kippur is not chal on it. Ein es a chal alisser. My tama, why? Omer by Shabbos kvi v'kaima. Shabbos comes without our action. Yom Kippur and beidina de kol kavalei. Yom Kippur, it's not us that bring it. It's Yom Kippur. It's mina shemayim. And since it's mina shemayim, therefore it comes later. It's through us, therefore it comes later. And Ein Eschal Alisser, according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, and Yom Kippur is not Chal. So Mefarshim explained, I saw a tremendous fart. Shabbos Kvi V'Kaima. We all know that Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai with the Luchas, and he dropped the Luchas. And the Pasuk, the Gemara says, what happened with the letters of the Luchas? Oisyas Parchas B'Aver. But the words in the Luchas, Zochar Es Yoyim Shabbos L'Katshai, they remained whole. And I saw two explanations why. One explanation is because Shabbos was already given to Klai Yisrael before the Luchas. Shabbos b'morin etztava. Another explanation is our Gemara. We don't make Shabbos, and therefore we don't break Shabbos. It's not us that take away the Kedusha of Shabbos. The Kedusha of Shabbos come in a Shemayim, and therefore we don't break it. Ask the Gemara, as we've been learning, however, why are we saying that Shabbos comes first and then Yom Kippur? Amalei Rava, Soif, Tavai, Ba'adadi, Adodikos. They both come together. They both start at the moment of sundown. Elam Rava, Sham Dahava. The case they're talking about was a terrible situation. The Goyim decreed that they should not keep Yom Kippur. So Vashach Matam, the Yom Kippurim Da Hoshata, Shapsahava. The Yom Kippur that year was Shabbos. The Cain, Kiyos Rav Makal Nechusa Amrik Rav. So the Gemara is saying a whole new pshat. Really, under normal circumstances, Shabbos and Yom Kippur come at the same time. That's the Posh Pshat in the Gemara. And since they come at the exact same moment, there's no issue of Issachar Alisser and Yechai for both. So why over there does the Gemara quote a Tana that says you're only Chai for one? It was a very unique year. The Goyim made a decree that the Klal Yisrael should not commemorate Yom Kippur. But the Chazal were concerned that we should forget about Yom Kippur. So they said Shabbos. Would the Goyim know we don't work on Shabbos anyway? We should celebrate Yom Kippur on Shabbos. So since they said we should celebrate Yom Kippur on Shabbos anyway, but it really wasn't Yom Kippur. So somebody who was Mechal Yom Kippur doesn't get an Einish because it wasn't Yom Kippur. That's Pash Pshat in the Gemara. Although, the Mefarshim ask a very powerful question. The halacha is, the Gemara says, that if the Goyim make us violate a halacha, even Arkas the Masana, they make us wear shoelaces that we're not supposed to wear or we shouldn't wear, we have to let ourselves be killed. So if the Goyim made a decree that we shouldn't celebrate Yom Kippur, why weren't they ready to be Maisa Nefesh? The halacha is you have to give up your life for it. So I saw two terutzim. One terutz is, the Goyim really weren't focused on the Yom Kippur. The Goyim were focused on Rosh Chodesh. We know that's Bezdin that decrees Rosh Chodesh. And they didn't allow Bezdin to decree Rosh Chodesh. If Bezdin doesn't decree Rosh Chodesh, then Yom Kippur isn't there because the Yom Tovim are connected to the Rosh Chodesh. And therefore, the decree wasn't specifically against Yom Kippur, and therefore not commemorating Yom Kippur doesn't require Mesiras Nefesh. Another teretz, which is very much along the same line. Even though the halacha indeed is that somebody's supposed to be Mesa Nefesh, even on the, if they make us be over an Avera, even the smallest Avera, if their goal is to be Meshamedos, that's only but we have to do everything to avoid such a situation. So Chazal purposely, in order to avoid this problem, did not declare that year Rosh Chodesh. So we didn't know when Yom Kippur was, because it depends on Chazal. And once they didn't declare when Yom Kippur was, therefore they weren't Chayiv if they violated Yom Kippur, and they weren't Mechayiv to be Maisa Nefesh, because there really was no Yom Kippur. Because Yom Kippur is connected to the Chazal saying when Rosh Chodesh is. So now we have a big question, ask many Rishonim and Achronim. If that's the way we're learning the Gemara, so there's no Machlok basically in the Rabbanim. It wasn't Yom Kippur. And if it wasn't Yom Kippur, so why would anybody say Yechayiv for violating Yom Kippur under those circumstances? So because of that question, I saw a new Pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara is referring to a situation where they declared Rosh Chodesh. But we know that what happened when they declared Rosh Chodesh. They didn't have emails and internet. They used to send shluchim to tell everybody when Rosh Chodesh was. The Goyim did not allow happen. And Yom Kippur came out on Shabbos. They knew it came out on Shabbos, but not that they were officially informed. Rabbi Kiva holds, the fact that you know or you don't know doesn't make a difference. It's Yom Kippur. And you know it's Yom Kippur. The fact that the Shliach came doesn't make you into an Oinus. That's why it's considered you a Mechal Yom Kippur. Yosef Glili considers that an Oinus, because if you weren't officially informed, even though you really know it's Yom Kippur, and even though it really is Yom Kippur, without that official knowledge, you can't be considered that you did an Aver even B'Shoigig. It's only considered you did the Aver B'Mezit. So we learned in the Mechalikus in the Mishnah, from when did the Issa Gidanosh apply? From the story with Yaakov Avinu, or only from Har Sinai? Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, v'chi nemar al ken lo yarech lo b'nei Yaakov. When the pasuk speaks about the Issa of Gid Anosha, the pasuk doesn't say al ken lo yarech lo b'nei Yaakov. V'lo lo nemar al b'nei Yisrael, al ken lo yarech lo b'nei Yisrael. V'loinarku b'nei Yisrael at Sinai. When were Klal Yisrael called b'nei Yisrael? Only by Sinai. So the fact that the Torah, when it speaks about the Issagir Anosha, speaks about, says the words Akein lo yoichlu b'nei Yisrael, is a clear indication that the Issagir Anosha could not have taken place when that episode took place, because the word b'nei Yisrael is inappropriate to be used there. Ella, and therefore, say the Rabbanan to Yehuda, b'sinai nema, the mitzvah Gid Anosha only started b'sinai, el shenichta b'mkaymoi, the reason it was just written in the Torah in that place, and we explained either to teach us the story or to teach us that the Gid Anosha is only osa michayim. Later, me'ezatam naslehem, to teach us the whole reason of the Gid Anosha, but the actual din of Gid Anosha only began at Har Sinai, so say the Rabbanim. Master Rava, ask Rava, if you're saying that the Gid Anosha din only applies when they're called B'nai Yisrael, so that, why do we have to wait for Har Sinai? The Pasuk says, V'yisu B'nai Yisrael Yaakov Avim. So then, we shouldn't have to wait for Sinai. At that point, they're already called B'nai Yisrael. Answers the Gemara Al-Achamaisa. And the way Rashi explains the Achamaisa is as follows. If we're going to say that the Gid Anosha din starts from when that episode happens, that makes sense. To say that it starts at another time, what makes that time special? Amar Rachbeid Revel Arashima, he shot the Litzah. So maybe it should be also from that time. Yes, they weren't called B'nai Yisrael then, but they were called B'nai Yisrael at that point. So from that point on, it should be Chal. Or some Rishonim say at the point where HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yaakov Avinu, Lo Yaakov Yikar Shemach El Yisrael, from that time on the Dira Gid Anosha should apply. Amalei V'chitar Pamayim Pamayim Nitna. The Torah wasn't given many different times. Either we follow the time when the actual episode happened, but the Rabbanan say that that can't be, because at that time they weren't called B'nai Yisrael, or we follow the time of Kabbalah Satayra. Any other time makes no sense. He shot that any other time in between, whether it's the time of Yusuf ben Yisrael, or the time that Yaakov Avinu was called Yisrael, Lav Shas Maisa Hava, it's not when the actual episode happened, V'loy Shas Matan Torah Hava, nor is it the time when the Torah was given. So just to pick a date out of nowhere, and say from that day on, the Gid Anosha should apply, makes no sense. And since according to Rabbanan, it makes no sense to say it happened when the actual episode happened, because the word B'nai Yisrael doesn't apply, we must say it starts from Har Sinai. Rabbi Yehuda obviously disagrees. He says the fact that they're called B'nai Yisrael doesn't change anything, and they were called B'nai Yisrael about what will, about the name that they will eventually have, but the Isser begins from when the story actually happened. The Mefarshim, because as we look into these Pesukim, we'll find other Pesukim that Klal Yisrael called B'nai Yisrael. The Pasuk calls them B'nai Yisrael when they went down Lishbar Oichel to buy food. So that happened before they carried Yaakov Avinu out of Mitzrayim. So why doesn't the Gemara use that Pasuk, which is an earlier Pasuk than the Pasuk of Yusuf B'nai Yisrael's Yaakov? So I saw that Maril Diskin answers, when Klal Yisrael called B'nai Yisrael, it could be for one of two reasons. One is because they're the sons of Yisrael. And one is because B'nai Yisrael represents that they are Yisrael. When they're only identified as the sons of Yisrael, that the Gemara never had a havamina, it should make a difference. So the Pasuk says, B'nai Yisrael, that the children of Yisrael went to buy food in Mitzrayim, that certainly has no significance. Here, where they're called B'nai Yisrael, because that is who they are, not because they're the children of Yaakov, that's what the Gemara says, maybe it should begin at that point, to which the Gemara replies, that point has no significance to the din of Gid Anosha. It's not when the episode happened, nor when the Torah was given.